Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com. Welcome, everyone. My guest today is lead analyst Logan Motoshami to talk about housing inventory this spring and all the variables that are affecting how many homes are on the market. This episode is brought to you by our podcast sponsor, Vesta. Logan, welcome back to the podcast.
Happy Easter. And it is wonderful to be here again, Sarah. We've been having a very busy week with interviews.
Yes, we have. Happy Easter to you. So you were on CNBC this week. You've done a couple of events, been a busy week.
Yes. And I think, one of the things, of course, what we always want to show at Housing Wire with our work is how to properly read inventory, right? Because that's so much of our housing discussion post-COVID. And I think today's podcast is going to talk about how high can inventory really grow now that we're in April, right? And of course, there's the seasonality of inventory. Today's discussion is, again, much like how we talked about November 9th of 2022, how the housing dynamics and also the economic dynamics changed on November 9th, 2022. Here, we just kind of want to refresh everyone to kind of, show why the tracker is so important and the economic variables that go into inventory.
Okay, so set the stage for us. Where are we historically with inventory right now? Like in the context of where it normally is, in the context of 2019, and then in the COVID time?
Our Altos data is a little bit different than the NAR. The NAR kind of captures single families, condos, pending sales. So their number is always going to be larger than ours. So if you take just the NAR's number, historically, going back to 1982, when I was 7 years old, we are traditionally between 2 to 2.5 million on active inventory. And one of the things I like to do with the NAR chart, because it goes back to 1982, is that in previous cycles and decades, we'd always have an inventory increase that's noticeable, right? In fact, three different times in the past, I would show that. Here, it's not the case. And we're in 2024. So if you look at the NAR data, averages between 2 to 2.5 million. 2007, 4 million active listings. Right now, we're just a tad above 1 million. So that's the NAR data that they showed up. For ourselves, Altos Research, we like to show the clean single-family weekly data. Those are the homes that are available for sale. And the tracker is going to come out when this podcast comes out, but based on last week's, we're 512,000 active listings, single-family homes. Pre-COVID, we're kind of 1 million, in that category. Again, these are the homes that are available for sale, not in contract or anything. One of the things I always like to show now, especially toward the end of 2023 and going into 2024, is the new listings data. These are the homes that come every single week that do not have a contract immediate. So they're the clean new listings. That number has not risen as much as I would like it to. We're not too far off, but again, post-COVID, 2021 to 2024, we're ranging right now still between 30,000 to 90,000. You add about like 20,000 on the peak of that would be pre-COVID levels. When we see stress in inventory, again, this is running at 250,000 to 400,000 per week. That's what we saw in 2008 to 11. So we don't have that kind of market. But active inventory, I've kind of set this metric for myself. With rates high, we should get between 11,000 and 17,000 per week, just a few weeks, especially in the seasonal time. That happened in 2022, where we had some big week-to-week numbers that were good. You saw the slope of the inventory curve. So far this year, the slope of the inventory curve is slow, and slow in a normal fashion is fine because we're seeing the growth here, but we don't have what we call the velocity slope. This is why I like to show those charts in the tracker article. So when people get to see it, you could see how noticeable that slope of the curve was. Well, you will also have to remember this. 2022 was a crazy, abnormal, historic year in housing. You almost need to like kind of somewhat ignore that because that wasn't a normal time. We went from 240,000. We were working at the lowest levels ever. And that slope was fast because we had the biggest home sale crash ever. We don't have those things anymore. So this is a key thing for everyone to remember. We are working with a higher bar and home sales aren't crashing. So I think if I had everyone in front of me and I was like, listen, if you did not know home sales fell from 6.5 million down to 4 million, would you change your outlook on housing? Now, a clever person would be like, yeah, I have to, because I immediately think home sales crashed and now they're not crashing anymore.
Right.
November 9th, 2022. We tried to tell you all. We did video. Sarah, how many videos did we make about, you know?
I don't know. And when you say we, you mean you.
I think I made 196 videos. Be like, homies, everyone, listen. I'm trying to tell you, it is really rare in the history of it. Now, this is an experience and it's not their fault. They don't track housing. So you wouldn't know. It's just really rare to get home sales crashing below 4 million. And now we are in 2024. And what did we see? We saw a bounce in sales from 3.85 million all the way up to 4.38, 2 months, similar to what we said in 2022. This is what I talked about on CNBC. That bounce is also coming with active inventory higher year over year. Okay, so we work with the equilibrium. Let's do a hypothetical. Let's say mortgage rates went to 9.375. Okay.
Bite your tongue, Logan.
And home sales crash, hypothetical, from 4.38 million down to 2.7 million. The slope of the curve can be faster. And we would see that in the weekly data. This is why I set that, you know, parameter of like 11 to 17,000 with rates above 7.25, right? So 7.25 is kind of like my peak mortgage rate forecast for the year. So far we haven't really hit that, but if it does, you'll see that. Why? Because homes take longer to sell in an expansionary time, right? It's very hard to get a massive quantified number of stressed sellers. So what occurred in 2022 is that new listings data did the opposite. People started to take their homes off or not put their homes on the market with rates so high. My thing is that the qualified mortgage doesn't allow you to do that. So naturally, biggest affordability hit ever, supply is a function of demand. That's what, when I ever go on CNBC, I always try to emphasize, supply is a function of demand. So we're just working with this equilibrium. Right now, we're going into the spring. This is where inventory should be picking up more. So track the weeklies. You want to track the new listings and the active listings. We give them to everyone in the tracker articles, so you can visually see this, so you can show people. If it is slow, if it continues this way, right, it's just one of those normal housing markets, which we haven't had in a while, right? We don't have demand booming. We don't have demand crashing. We're just fighting this equilibrium, and the weekly data will let us know. And in this environment, you can actually have home prices decline if the price cut percentages, which is the third and final of the inventory data that if the price cuts percentages start to accelerate, right? Just like it did in 2022, you can have price declines. Why? I mean, people, you know, the confusion has been that you can't have home prices decline unless inventory is at X level, but monthly supply is above 6 months. That didn't work in 2022, right? We had authentic price declines. But again, 2022, extremely abnormal. The year started hot and then prices declined with the biggest crash in sales ever. So the goal is here is to teach people that the weekly data will give us the clues. If we continue this way, there's just not going to be too much inventory growth, even with higher rates. We will see the increase start to happen in the next few months. But this is then the rate variable comes into play next.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
You know, let's just make sure that we're all clear on the terms. When you say new or active listing, new listings, you're not talking about new homes, right? We have the existing home market. We have new home market.
The new listings is all the homes that come onto the market that don't have a contract that are there for people to buy.
So it could be right? from the new home sector or existing home sector.
It could be, but it's just in general, as always, majority of all inventory comes from the existing home sales market. You know, always remember, you have professional grifters out there who are telling you there's more homes under construction than ever, millions of homes.
Yes.
One group, Sarah. Just one group of people have literally wasted their adult lives devoting themselves to a gold god that does not exist. Because when we all pass away, it's going to be tragic for them. In any case, active completed units for sale for new homes is 85,000. Even during the housing bubble crash years, that thing never went to 200,000. Okay. Come on. There's only so much. I mean, this is not a very hard data line to even read. Okay. So be careful out there on the internet. So new listings, active listings. Now let's do another hypothetical. Let's say if we have stress in the inventory data, what I'm looking for, right? I've always said that, God, for 2 years, if we see stress in the inventory data, the new listings will go vertical because we've seen what vertical data looks like 2008 to 11. And then it will hover in that area for a very long time. Now, that period of time, we had a lot of distressed inventory, sellers that can't be buyers, right? The homes coming into market, they're not, you know. So here, the vertical has to come from some type of an event. You remember the Airbnb bust? Sarah, do you remember the Airbnb bust that was supposed to? Okay, so there's the Airbnb bust, there's the silver tsunami, and then there's middle-aged men stock traders who are all going to sell their homes to protect their assets and have their kids live on the streets. None of these things happened. Why? Because normal human beings do not act like middle-aged men stock traders, nor do they act like YouTube or ex-doomers, right? They have a family. They have a family to feed. You know, I got 3 cats now to feed. Like, I can't imagine like selling my home to be homeless and then my cats are going to be asking for food. Now, come on, right? So in this context, if there is stress, we are going to see it so easily in the new listings data. This is why we're going to talk about what stressed inventory looks like. New listings data starts to pick up. It didn't really pick up too much in 2022, except toward the middle of the year. We saw a slight deviation from the previous year, and then it went negative. So my hope, this is actually what I don't want to happen, is that now that we have a little bit of a growth year over year, if hypothetical, let's say higher rates happen, then we just go back down and run on trend to 2023. That would be a nightmare, right? Because then we're back to the lowest new listings data ever. And like I said, 2023 was, we had record low levels of sales. We had record low levels of new listings and we had home price growth. Terrible. You don't want that. You want a more balanced market. This is why I'm a pro supply choices. So stress in the inventory data, new listings data starts to go vertical. Then we see the active inventory data start to pick up, right? Deviating from the normal curve that we see, right? I mean, that's the supply and demand equilibrium. A lot of people made the mistake saying that as soon as inventory increases, prices will fall. Go back to 2000 to 2005, active inventory grew for 5 years, but prices rose. We went from 2 million active listings, this is the NAR data, to 2.5 million. So prices rose. Rise, there's a supply and demand equilibrium right there. That's the key. So you have to put all these variables in together. You can't just be a naked inventory person because that didn't work last year, right? Demand was still at record lows and prices still rose. So we have ways to track this now. And now that we're in spring, it's going to be a very critical period of time to focus on the weeklies because we don't have a clear direction yet. We have inventory growing year over year, but nothing in that manner to go up or down yet. But the price cut percentages, this is what we do know. As rates started to tick up higher again, the price cut percentage, which was heading toward below 2023 levels, is now slightly higher. This is why the tracker is key, right? We always talk about the economic variables that go into housing and the demand side, but the inventory side gives you clues, right? You always want to have clues. Why? Because Mother Economics, she is a serial killer. She wants to be caught.
Wait.
She gives you so many clues.
Is that the line from Silence of the Lambs? Where does that come from?
No. Does it sound familiar?
Yes. I mean, Mother Nature wants to be caught.
I know, but I'll let you think about it.
It is World War Z.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay.
She is. Yeah. And the doctor who lasted 2 seconds coming off a plane said, you know, the virus serial killer, it wants to get caught. Economics is the same way. There are clues, right? You want to follow the clues. Now, I would say that we have an unfair advantage because we have the fastest data out there. By the time you read the Case-Shiller index or anything, it's too old. So here we teach people so everyone understands. And when the numbers deviate, you go with it. This is why I would say anybody who has a model is not a perma anything, right? This is why I want people with their names and faces to forecast, and then I want to read their models. Because once you get their models down, and trust me, 99% of them don't have any models, right? Then they can't escape it. So if your models change on you, this is why I was harping on the recession call people after November 9th, 2022. A lot of people said housing leads the recession. The builder's confidence is taking us into recession. After November 9th, the builder confidence went up. I said, everyone, this is moving the other way. Has your model forced you to change? A lot of people didn't because their own bias went into it. And then by the time it didn't happen, it was too late. So this is why you believe in people who believe in economic models, because it keeps them in line. And when the data goes negative or positive, you go with it until something changes. So right now, new listings data, active inventory data, it's not fast, but if it does grow, we'll see it first. We'll see it in the price cut percentage. We'll see how the 10-year yield works. But we're already working from the lowest levels of sales ever. Right. So it's not going to be like 2022, where we had the biggest home sale crash ever recorded in history. And the slope of the curve is super fast. We can't get that slope of the curve really fast. But if it happens, all of you that read the tracker will be the first people to see it. Right. And then by the time the existing home sales report comes and the Case-Shiller and FHL, it's too late. It's too old. What? We don't want to be old and slow, Sarah. Right? Not in this age. You know, back again, I've always stressed this. 1,000 years ago, you dispatch horses, you go get a piece of paper from another country, and by the time they get back, they're telling you the Spanish Armada is about to invade you. Well, they came 3 months ago. Thank you. You don't, we have access to data faster. So it's a good thing. And this is why I think I'm very excited to see how it plays out now that we're going into April. And how this goes for the rest of the summer. And do we have a situation where rates don't go higher this year like they did last year and the year before? Do they actually stay flat and go lower? How does that change the data? Does that mean we start to see the seasonal decline a little bit earlier? Like for one of the things I loved about this year is that last year, we're still looking for the seasonal bottom. I'm like, come on, bottom out already. It was April 14th. That was the longest period. That didn't happen right now. So right now we're seeing slowly growth and we'll take it 1 week at a time, but it's something real for everyone to work on.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So if you say that inventory now is about 500,000, right, that you could go out there and buy it. And before COVID, it was more like a million. So from your perspective, are we missing, you know, people talk about the missing houses. Are we missing like half a million homes right now?
To get back to a normal inventory channel, you get 500,000 plus on the Altos data. You get about a million plus on the NAR data. That gets us back to pre-COVID. The NAR data, if you want to go back to 1982, needs about 2 to 2.5 million. So that million gets you below, you know, or gets you at the lower end range of what's normal. Now, again, we had a lot more inventory with a lot less people back then. So we have more people now. So again, people buy a home to live in it, right? Just live in it. They're not going anywhere. So the selling buying equilibrium is different. And there's all these different things that have happened in housing economics after 2010. And for me, it's always about the credit markets have changed. But when I think about, God, if we just get anywhere near just 2019, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I don't even need to see the NAR data get to 2 to 2.5 million. I'll take 1.52 million to 1.93 because for my work, if people haven't followed me in the past, I was not a low inventory person in the last decade. I was like, listen, we have plenty of homes to buy. Prices aren't escalating out of control and days on market aren't a teenager. So the low inventory holding sales back wasn't a thing. And this is the confusing part. When people say you can't buy what you can't purchase or it's not there, we had more home sales with active inventory being at all-time lows in 2020 and 2021 than any period in the last decade. Why? The buy-in and selling equilibrium has changed in America. We do things faster now, right? We don't sit there for like 60 to 90 days to get the home buying process started. Things are done faster. So the inventory channels are much different now. So that's why, you know, it's confusing to people. We have the biggest home sale crash ever recorded in history and almost inventory is still near all-time lows. And remember, credit markets, everyone's kind of in their homes or living their lives fine. And that supply and demand equilibrium still works. So the most positive story for 2024 is inventory is up year over year. New listings data is up year. Yes, it's a little bit below what I think, but it's fine for me.
So much better than last year. So much better. Even if, you know, yes, when we can compare it to historical levels or, you know, 2019, but like compared to last year, I think we're up a double, right?
Yeah, it's funny to say this, but we're well above 100% on inventory, right? And people go, no, that's impossible. Yes, it is. 240,512,000. We're double. But again, our Altos data is a little bit different than everyone else. Remember, everyone kind of trends the same way. They might have different variables. Here, we really like to synchronize. This is why when Mike does his inventory previews, he brings a little bit more into the whole discussion. My stuff is always on the macroeconomic side and the credit side as well. So merge them together, you get the real story. And it's so refreshing to be able to give people fresh, real data than speculative theory, because last year or the end of 2022, let's not forget this, the end of 2020, everyone went into the home price crash. Everyone was saying, here it comes. And we were saying the market changed on November 9th because we want you to read forward-looking data. So for anybody who wants to get versed on how to read forward-looking data, Sarah and I did our podcast. It's our popular podcast. You know, why didn't home prices crash with higher rates? Rates from 6 to 8%. Forward-looking data changed, right? And it was not a good thing. Inventory was going down. New listings data was going down. So work with it all together. And it's all there for everyone to read, Sarah. The history of human civilization has taught us that those that believe in reading instead of those that believe in burning books, it's a good thing for those who read.
Logan, you are preaching to the choir here. I'm an editor. Of course, I think people should be reading and they should be reading us. They should be reading The Tracker. So, you know, when you think about inventory, you know, we just saw, I think it was Phoenix voted down something that they were going to build more homes. We're seeing all these local efforts to try to build more, because if we're down that much inventory, what is the other solution? It's we've got to build more homes, right?
You know, the mob could learn something from local juristic not in my backyard people, because boy, though, that is a racket. I think what Phoenix brought the Department of Justice into the conversation. How the hell they get the military to come in there and say that? So, you know, we wrote that article in 2021 about, you know, are we going to build ourselves out of this? It's funny because if people read that article, we highlight once demand breaks, they stop. Sarah, what sector is in a recession on permits? The 5 units, the apartment boom we had is busted. It's over. We're at the COVID-19 lows in permits. If the trend continues, we're going to get back to the great recessions, because in this society, you build, you have to clear that cost and make money, right? So if you are not the March of Dimes might build homes for free, but here, these people need to make money. So the capitalist markets work. They're like, I can't make money building this apartment, so I'm done. So permits are single family still rising slowly, right? It's nowhere spectacular, but I wrote that article basically outlined that when it happens, when the demand breaks, you're going to see permits and everyone's going to go, no, we have to build millions of millions. I said, it doesn't work that way. You have obviously never run a business in your life, because people are here to make money. If you want, then the government has to get involved and the government has to fund the stuff. But hopefully by now, that article is really written. And unfortunately, the permits of the 5 units are already at recession levels. Thankfully, the builders are still paying down rates to keep people employed and building. But don't ever forget this. Single family permits were falling before the builder started to, okay, we could find a low level, we're going to pay down rates and sell homes. The reason that single family permits are rising slowly is because new home sales are growing. Fortunately, the apartment boom is over in that sense. And you would need more kind of government intervention to make sure that, and let's go back, you know, I do those charts going back 5-6 decades. It's miraculous. When a recession happens, people build less, because they can't make money. So if you wanted to break the business and economic cycle, you have to do something like that. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But hopefully now, that article we wrote in 2021, now people can see that everyone's like, yeah, we're going to build so many apartments. And they're like, why are building apartments down to recession levels?
You're making a money symbol on what it is. For people who are just listening.
That's what it is. Simply is, yeah, you have to be able to clear the cost of production and make money for these people to do it. This is why we brought the March of Dimes into all of our conversations forever. They're not it.
They are not it. Logan, thank you so much for being on, explaining inventory to us, especially because this is the hot topic outside of commission lawsuits. Maybe inventory, especially in spring, is the number one thing that we're looking for, along with mortgage rates. So thank you for being on and helping us understand.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. We'll see you back here on Monday for more news and insight.